Hi, I'm Keegan.
And I'm Madigan.
And you're listening to
Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist. This is a podcast where we explore the world through our own personal feminist perspective.
Hello, hello.
Oh my gosh, Keegan is starting off the episode.
I know, what's up? It's so weird. Like, I know. It's good. But you know what? I was gone for a whole month, and it didn't feel like a month. Like, I thought that it was going to feel like forever, like it was going to take so long. And really, it didn't feel that long, and it feels like I'm just like right back in the swing of things, right back into my routine, basically.
That's the thing about our routine, I think, especially during the pandemic, where it is very easy for us to get back into that routine, because I even found myself hitting record and then holding my finger up to the microphone ready to like tap it to make sure that we get our sound synced up when I haven't had to do that in a very long time, you know? So it was, yeah. And that was the other thing. Like, I saw a whole month of having to do this by myself and seeing that as being like a much more daunting task than it turned out to be. I actually had so much fun. Like, I really enjoyed the process of doing it by myself, of course, but also really missed having you to converse with, especially for the mini episodes. I didn't really have anybody to like banter with.
Oh man, I can imagine, because like, especially in these times with the news, like, you know, you can always relay the news, but it does help to have like conversation and have somebody else bringing something to the table. But
exactly.
I'm so glad that you had a good experience while I was gone. I'm so happy that you held it down, man. I'm grateful that I had you here to
Thanks, girl. Well, I want to know how your month was. Listeners, I don't really know. I talked with Keegan. I texted her a few times in the beginning of her trip, essentially just to make sure that like she was okay emotionally and like, you know, doing all right and checking in. And then after a while, I was just kind of like, all right, I'll see her when she gets back. So I really don't know what you've been doing at all, Keegan.
Well, it was kind of a whirlwind trip. Like I said, it went so much faster than I was expecting. And I did tell the listeners before I left, but the reason why I was away and the reason why I was in Missouri is because I was working with Black Lives Matter and also local theaters in Springfield, where I'm from, because we are forming this Black Arts Alliance with some of the theater companies and arts groups in Springfield. So I did manage to meet and sit down with like the biggest local theater company in Springfield, and we've worked out a deal, which I'm very excited about. So we will be putting up shows every single February starting this February in one of their spaces.
Wow.
So I know we have one listener who fits this description, but if there are others, if you or someone you know is a Black artist, whatever that means to you, and you are in the Southwest Missouri, meaning like Springfield, Branson, Joplin, those areas, and you are interested in maybe participating in a show or joining our alliance in some way, or you just want to hear more, or if you are in that area and maybe you are a non-Black ally who wants to volunteer your time, please email us at blackartsswmo@gmail.com. So we can also put that in the show notes or wherever, or you can reach out to me on my personal Instagram, keegan.winfield, and I will fill you in, connect you wherever. But we're getting that show going immediately because we don't really have that much time,
right,
actually, to put it together.
Are you going to be going back in February to help put it on?
Right now, that's the plan.
That
I mean, we'll
awesome.
See. I'm going to try and artistic direct the entire... We're doing a showcase, basically. And I want to do the artistic direction for the show.
Right.
So ideally, I could be there, but it's really going to depend on COVID restrictions. You know, things are spiking again. And
February
we'll have to see.
February is a long way away, especially right now. You know, it's hard, you know, even with family, my mom wanting to come to California. And it's just like, you know, I don't know what the numbers are going to look like. I don't know what's going on. You know, we don't even know what it's going to look like next week. I mean, I believe it was yesterday where we hit 100,000
in a day,
cases in a day.
Right.
You know, it's getting intense, and it's just going to get worse during the winter, obviously. But then, you know, maybe by February, I guess Missouri is pretty cold
still
in February.
I mean,
we'll see.
I'll kind of play it by ear. I mean, right now I'm kind of going on faith. Like, I'll probably buy a ticket and then just get the insurance on it.
Yeah, good idea.
So that I can cancel it if I need to. But yeah, cases are spiking everywhere. I mean, cases are spiking in Missouri as well, like in these kind of
hardcore. My mom went to Kansas last week for a wedding, and I was like, what are you thinking? Because it's like the Midwest right now is just a hotbed for coronavirus. It's crazy.
It's a wild experience.
It's a hotbed for coronavirus and for Trump supporters, I swear.
Yes. I mean, and it is a wild experience. Like, there is a bit of culture shock, I think, whenever you come from somewhere like Southern California, and you really, if you travel anywhere outside the coast. But it was interesting to see, like, everyone wore masks for the most part. And I saw a couple of people who were like, no, and you can't make me.
Right.
But everyone, for the most part, wore masks inside at grocery stores or whatever. That didn't seem to be like a huge, huge issue. However, people were out way more than they are here.
Yeah.
You know, like it did not seem to really be affecting people's day-to-day lives, as far as like if you drive somewhere in Los Angeles, the traffic is significantly better than pre-pandemic, right?
Right.
If you drive in Springfield right now, for instance, it's the same. Like, it's the same as it was before. People are basically...
Yeah, just from what I've seen on social media, it seems like the Midwest might be a bit more like people are going out to bars and restaurants more. Like, outside, 100. Obviously, but like a lot... Like,
oh, no, no. Mm-mm, girl.
Oh, inside,
they
too?
Inside. Oh, they gosh. Inside. Yes.
I mean, not from what I'm seeing, but I do believe you on that. But yeah, I mean, it's... I think there's just a different understanding of how dangerous it is, especially in people... Well, I should say that, you know, a lot of older people I've found have a harder time understanding the risks. But also, I've noticed that a lot of younger people are just kind of like, ah, fuck it. Like, we're still going to do the things that we really want to do, you know?
And I have to say, like, it's not wise, of course, to be like that. But there is so much, like, misinformation that I think that people get tired of trying to figure out like what the right thing to do is, so they're just like, well, I'm just gonna do what I want to. In Springfield particularly, like, Springfield is a college town, so when I walked around, like, you can't reopen colleges and expect like 18-year-olds not to throw parties and get together. Like, they're going to do it. Like, and they were, like, there were, I walked around downtown one night with my mask on outside, and the college kids were in the clubs, man. They were in the bars. They were having parties. I could see their parties because my parents live on, you know, Frat Row, you know,
Greek
Street.
That's pretty funny.
It's just, yeah, that's where people are at. They're like, well, I just don't care.
Yeah, pandemic fatigue is real. And I think that that's where most of Americans have hit right now, which is really upsetting because it's not the time for that. Like, it's really not the time to be going out unless you really have to. And I think that's the thing that's really bothering me, is it's people's priorities, I guess, for leaving the house just don't line up with what I think is going to take this virus down quicker. You know, it's like, I just feel like we're prolonging this whole pandemic so much by continuing to go out and see people. Like, we're just not getting rid of it any sooner because y'all can't get your shit together and wear masks and stay apart from each other, but whatever. I feel like we need to get talking about the election a little bit. You know, we don't have anything really clear at the moment, and it's hard for us right now, I think, to report on what's going on with the election because we are recording 7:45 Pacific time on Thursday. So between now and tomorrow morning, Friday morning, when this is uploaded, I'm sure that there will be different updates and important
100%.
Things going on.
Oh, yes. 100%.
So I wanted to really talk about some of the things that we know for sure have gone on. And I don't know about you, but I didn't really take even a whole lot of notes. I've just been watching the news since I got up this morning till now. And the one thing that I really wanted to talk to you about, Keegan, was Trump's speech that he made.
Oh, I didn't watch that. Oh, no.
Mm-mm. Oh, yeah.
Anthony called me in. He's like, Trump speaking, do you want to watch it? And I was like, no, I don't. I'll watch the highlights on Instagram later. Thank you very much. well, and it was exactly what I thought it would be. It's the same shit that he's been saying. It's the same shit we knew he was going to say. And it's the stuff that he said he was going to say before the election even happened.
Yeah. So, it's for those of you who didn't watch, or for those of you who are not from the U.S., Trump's real big thing is trying to convince America that there is voter fraud happening because of mail-in voting, and that's something that he has been talking about for months, which is why his base has been voting in person. And that's why, you know, like we've said on the show as well, why, you know, it was appearing that Trump was doing better at first. And now Biden is kind of starting to come up as they're counting these mail-in
right
votes.
So we did do a live on Instagram on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. When the election votes were starting to come in and everything looked really red.
Yeah.
And so what Madigan's referring to is that we said during that live was like a lot of Trump voters or Republican voters voted in person. And oftentimes, and this doesn't entirely make sense because they had a lot of the absentee ballots for a while and they should have been counting them. But oftentimes they will count the in-person ballots first.
Right.
So there was a huge surge where it looked like everything was red and Trump was doing really well. And, you know, something that I really tried to stress to people was like, hey, don't freak out right
yeah.
now, because most likely, and this is what we have seen, the mail-in votes are going to be counted later, and those are overwhelmingly, like something like 85%
right.
Of the mail-in votes lean Democrat. So
right, and in Trump's mind and what he is telling his base and telling the country, that any of the mail-in ballots are not legal. He says that if you look at the legal votes, I win easily. That's what he's been saying. So
that's not how this works.
It's not how it works. And you know, it's funny, I think I've noticed just one comment. I haven't been on Instagram too much today, although I think my story posting would suggest otherwise, but somebody I think did comment saying like, everybody knows the Dems are like creating all this fraud and things like that. And I was just like, where is this coming from? Because the other thing that I was screaming at the TV was when Trump was talking about the lack of transparency. That's something that a lot of Republicans are saying, is that there's a lack of transparency in the counting. And it's
there
like,
are Democrats and Republicans who are doing the counting. There are both sides are doing the counting. Like, that's always how it's been.
For example, in Georgia, that's one of the things that the people who are protesting outside of the Georgia polls are saying, that, you know, it's fraudulent. You know, they're not letting people in, but they have a Republican governor. They have Republican.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. You know, so they're not speaking with all the information, but they're being loud enough to get people riled up.
And everybody is appalled by Trump's behavior and the things that he is saying. Even
yeah.
Fox News, like everyone is like, this is a threat to our democracy. You know, the one thing I will say is I feel like a lot of Republicans aren't being vocal enough.
Which is what
about,
I was going to say. I'm like,
yeah.
Where's like Max?
The outrage.
Like, okay, what's going on with Bush? Like, is he okay? Because he's been super quiet during this entire campaign. Like, I'm wondering if his health isn't good or something, because
Bush just wants to hang out and paint his pictures. He's like, I don't
know. He does, but he, I don't know. I you all know I'm not a Bush fan, but I do believe that he at least would say something in support of Biden if he was capable of doing so.
Well,
I don't know. I worry about him.
Whether or not he would say something in support of Biden, for me, it's more of a thing of like,
coming out against Trump.
Well, or just the fact that Trump is actively undermining our democracy.
Right.
Our democracy.
Yeah.
So even if you don't want to come out and be in support of Biden, even if you don't want to come out and like anger your fellow Republicans or whatever, you can come out and say that this is an anti-democratic thing this person is doing.
Right.
It's authoritarian and it's very, very scary.
Well, yeah.
It's extremely scary. And so...
And some people are saying that, you know, like you said, Fox News is saying things like
some
that.
Of them,
but I wish
yeah.
some of them. But I wish that there were more influential figures from the
yeah.
Republican Party coming forward and actually making some statements, even if it's a tweet, even if it's just a quick statement online with someone that they're interviewing with. This is the time for what I would like to call real Republicans, like real, like just
yes. conservatives,
you know, real conservative Republicans mm-hmm. that are not Trumpsters, to come forward for the sake of democracy in support in some way, not necessarily, you know, saying Joe Biden's name or anything like that, but being in support of what he's saying. And what he's saying is to count every single vote. And that's how it's always been. So
yes.
the fact that they're saying that, you know, what I was saying earlier about the transparency, and I had to ask Maxis, I was like, was there a time in the past where like there was more transparency? Like, was there a window that the public could look into? Because I'm pretty sure there wasn't. Like, this is exactly how the voting process has gone forever. But
the problem is Trump is an idiot and he has no idea how the process actually goes. Yeah. Anything, and we knew this from the beginning, like anything that was a threat to him personally and his ego was not going to be something that was accepted. I mean, this is a man who actively tried to like open a court case because he lost, even though he won the office of the presidency, he lost the popular vote and he couldn't sit with that. Because he's a narcissist and it got under his skin. So he tried to open a court case to prove that he actually won the popular vote. This is someone, you know, and at that point, any sane person would be like, fucking let it go. You've already won. You've won. But that's not how he operates. It's just not the way that his brain works whatsoever. And like, well, I did think it was interesting when I was in Missouri. My brother is a, you know, he's a political science minor or major. Yeah, political science major. And very smart, and he's conservative, and he's, and we had lots of talks while I was there.
Yeah.
And he is a never Trump conservative because he can see that this is actually bad for the Republican Party. It's actually bad for people with actual conservative values. Like it's. And the fact that he's completely undermining our democracy, that should scare everybody. That should worry everyone. And if it doesn't, then you're a cultist to Trump. You're not a Republican or a conservative.
Exactly. And that was the thing about, you know, I was talking to Keegan about, you know, doing research for all of the bad girls on my own and things like that. Phyllis Schlafly in particular. But learning about her was so fascinating to me because she really was at the helm of this you know, extremist right-wing movement in the Republican Party. Like, she has so much to do with that, along with, you know, other racist societies like the John Birch Society, which she was also a part of, so on and so forth. But this has been something that has been kind of a shady secret of the Republican Party for so long, and they've just been gaining power slowly, secretively, I feel like, for so long that now they don't have to be, they don't have to be quiet. They don't have to be that anymore. Like, I almost feel like it should just be another party because to me, that isn't the Republican that I grew up with. That's not the Republican that I know in my family.
It's not for me either. However, I do think that it needs to be said, and this is a good way to, a good time to segue into this. You know, I think that the polls kind of got us all thinking that there was going to be this massive landslide, this huge blue wave, and it was going to be this thing where we all rose up and said, like, oh, fuck Trump. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I didn't believe that for a second.
That's not what we saw.
Yeah.
And what we saw was 55% of white women in this country voted for Trump.
But actually, I looked at something on Instagram and I don't have it in front of me, but I believe they said that every single demographic besides white men, like any, I don't think it was any demographic, but it was like a list of certain like groups of people, and they had all increased in their vote for Trump since the last election, particularly white women. It was a huge increase, which I'm like, why in the fuck?
There's a 4% increase for white women. And so even though we can say, like, this isn't the conservative America I know, or this isn't the Republican, you know, that we grew up with, you all out here, 50 fucking percent of our country voted for this man. Mm-hmm. So you know what? Like, fuck all of your performative allyship. Yep. Fuck all of your black squares that you posted for Black Lives Matter. Fuck all of that, because clearly, the numbers, I mean, and granted, even though this was a historic turnout as far as voters, it still was what, like one third of the number of the population of the United States. So maybe there's a bunch of people who didn't vote. You know what I mean? But that's a problem, too.
It's upsetting that there was, that there wasn't the gap that we wanted between the candidates. That's the most upsetting thing, is that there's still enough people after the year that we've had with him as our president that still see him as adequate enough to run our country for the next 4 years.
Or just that their interests are important enough to, the rest of it doesn't really matter. I mean, I think that that's really what it is. I think that a lot of conservatives or Republicans will say, I don't like the man, I don't like him, but is he gonna appoint Supreme Court seats that are going to serve my interests? Is he going to,
is he gonna be for, you know, pro-life? Is there, you know, there's a lot of different reasons for people, and also something that I wasn't really aware of much, but they've been talking a lot about it on CNN. There's been a few people that have discussed it, and it was something that I talked about with my friend Rose a few weeks ago. She has family from Venezuela, so hearing Trump calling Biden a socialist mm-hmm. is very scary to them. There's this mm-hmm. threat with communism and things like that. So that's the other thing that I didn't really think about and wasn't aware of, where there is an entire demographic where they don't necessarily agree with Trump as the man, but the policies and the fact that he's right. not going to be socialist or communist is comforting, you know.
But he's going to be an authoritarian,
exactly.
though. Like that's the problem.
But it's,
like,
but it's yes, the fear-mongering I've heard that he's done that works, you know.
And I understand that, like, and that's been the case with Venezuela, Cubans, you know, Venezuelans, Cubans, Nicaraguans, like they have all come out in large numbers for this election.
She's from Nicaragua, not Venezuela. I had to fix that, especially because she's my friend.
But like those numbers have come out, like they've all come out in big numbers, right, for this election. And so I understand that. However, just like I would say to fucking anybody, do your own research.
Oh,
everyone should
yes.
be educating themselves before this election. Everyone should have educated themselves and really take a hard look. We've got Biden, who is nowhere near a socialist. Biden is a moderate. He is a middle of the road, moderate Democrat.
Yeah.
He is not even left leaning, really. And on the other side, you have a nationalist authoritarian. So
yeah.
anybody who's really going to look and say, what do we really have to be afraid of? Who's going to undermine our democracy? If you really had done the research,
yeah.
which you should have done.
Right. But that's the thing, is that I just don't think that a large percent of our population cares to do the research. It's more based off of the same way that we've chosen presidents for, you know, generations. It's, you know, it's like ability, it's policy, it's these little things that people hang on to make themselves feel better about voting for somebody, even if they don't necessarily agree with them. And I think that's where a lot of these votes are coming, because it's like, yes, maybe they don't agree with the racism exactly and things like that, because I know that that's a big thing that Republicans fight against, being white supremacists and racists and things like that. But like we've said forever, your vote says otherwise, you know?
Right. I mean, if it quacks like a duck, swims like a duck, you know what I mean? Like,
yep.
You can't, there is at some point, you have to really take a good hard look at yourself. And I'm saying that, like, as somebody with relatives who definitely voted for Trump, you know, we need to start taking a look at our family members.
Right.
It's just, where we're at right now.
And I think the only way that we're going to heal as well is if we're given the opportunity to heal, and that would be through Joe Biden right now, which is why I know, you know, I'm very cautiously optimistic, and even saying optimistic is a little bit of a stretch, but I don't know how else to describe how I feel. But I just feel that if we could just get to this, obviously having a different president is not going to fix everything, but I just hope that through time, at least making one step can slowly get us toward unity, because that's one thing that I've really appreciated over the last 3 days with Joe Biden, is that every time he's spoken not as, you know, someone who's campaigning, but as someone who's already talking about unifying us as a country. And that's going
right.
to be the most important thing for us to get together and to have those conversations, to learn as a country and grow as a country, instead of growing further and further apart, which is what our current president is enforcing.
Absolutely. I mean, I will say, it doesn't stop here. I do think Joe Biden is going to win this election, you know, universe willing.
Knock
I really
on some
do.
Wood right now, Keegan.
That's, that is how I feel. I do think that he will win this election. And I will say that having watched his speeches, I felt the same way. It felt like this felt like a presidential person, right, who was speaking on behalf of all Americans, not Democrats or Republicans, which is refreshing and, you know,
yeah.
amazing.
And he However, wasn't chastising the people that didn't vote for him. He said, you know, I welcome you as well. And the just unity of his speech was wonderful.
Absolutely. And I'm incredibly relieved by that. And I look forward to having that in a president.
Yeah.
However, I do have a little bit of a fear of Biden winning this election and then people going back to sleep because the immediate fire is out. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because it's like, just because we've managed to like get the fire under control doesn't mean that our work is done. There's still so much to do.
Yeah.
Biden isn't going to do the things that we as progressives really want done, especially when it comes to, you know, racial issues, police reform and things like that. So
right.
just well, keep your eyes open no matter what happens.
Yeah. And people are going to be more politically charged, I feel like, in an election year anyways, in the election year that we've had in particular. We've been very, very, very politically charged. There's been a rise in, you know, advocacy and activism and things like that. And it's going to die down, especially if we get Biden as a president. Like, it's just what's going to happen. But I do have to say that it's the people that listen to the show. It's the people that talk to their friends and their family about these things. That it's the people that really have this movement and this faith in their hearts that are going to keep going. And that's what's the most important. You know, we don't always need, you know, as much as we would love the voices of millions every single time something happens, as long as we have the people who are willing to dedicate their lives and do the work, we're going to keep moving forward. And I think because we keep reminding everybody that it's not done, you know, we're going to keep reminding you that it's not done, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So that kind of leads me to, let's talk about some positive outcomes.
Yes, I made a big, long list of good things.
Me too.
Awesome.
So as we've said, right now we're still waiting on results. We're waiting on Nevada. The memes are giving me life, for real. And we are now waiting on Georgia.
Dude, Georgia Biden. And Pennsylvania for me are the ones that I care more about. Like Nevada, you've got 6 electoral votes. Like I can wait on you. I want to know what Georgia and Pennsylvania are going to do.
Well, Pennsylvania, I'm not feeling a lot of, I mean, I'm just not there yet as far as feeling
right.
a lot of hope for Pennsylvania.
People sound hopeful and I'm like, I don't feel that yet.
I mean, we'll see because yeah. there's a lot of votes yet to be counted and most of them will probably be for Biden. So we'll see how that goes. But right now, Georgia, it's tied. We are in a tie right now. So it is 49.4% for both Trump and Biden. And Biden is only trailing by less than 2,000 votes right now. And there are still something like 70,000 to be counted.
Yeah.
So Biden could very well take Georgia. I think it's actually quite likely that he will, since what they're counting now are mail-in votes in suburban areas, or like urban areas rather, like Atlanta.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we'll
exactly.
see.
We'll see. And then that's the thing, is that we're getting down to the wire with these mail-in votes, and that's the thing that's really, you know, what people like you and I are looking the most forward to. So
oh,
it's very
yes.
hard
mm.
to peel our eyes away from the TV. But let's
Could
get
kiss
into
those mail-in votes just right on the mouth.
But I
yeah,
know,
let's
right?
Get
let's
into
get into
some
the good
positive
stuff.
Outcomes. So
yes.
this one I was very excited about. Voters in Mississippi voted to replace their state flag that displayed the Confederate flag. So it was
uh-huh.
the only state flag that had the Confederate flag on it, which is ludicrous that
right.
that has even been a thing for so long. But they did vote to replace it. And the new flag received 68% of the vote. And it has a magnolia on it. So that will be going up in replace of that flag soon.
That is beautiful. I was very, very excited to hear when Sarah McBride became the first trans state senator in U.S. history. It's freaking crazy.
Wah, 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 wah.
I know, right? She is Delaware's new state senator. She is only 30 years old and has spent her career as an LGBTQ activist. I've got to say,
Killing
a lot
game.
Of the people on this list are making me feel like I have not accomplished enough yet in my life.
Oh, I'm for sure.
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah. On Tuesday night, she tweeted, "I hope tonight shows an LGBTQ kid that our democracy is big enough for them, too."
It's beautiful. So the squad, AOC, Ayanna Pressley, Ilhan Omar, and Rashida Tlaib all held their seats in Congress and by landslides. And they were also joined, and this one makes me very proud as well,
mm-hmm.
by Black Lives Matter activist Cori Bush.
Yes,
she's also
from Missouri.
Nurse. Yes, and she's the first African-American woman to hold a seat in Congress in Missouri. And I know that she really gained steam over the summer as a Black Lives Matter activist. activist and also a nurse who was working through this pandemic.
Yeah.
So that's extremely exciting.
Yeah. And she's incredibly progressive. She is working toward the Green New Deal, Medicare for All, and all other kinds of progressive causes.
In Missouri, which is a big, big, big deal.
So you get a wah, 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 yes, as yes. well. Daniela Levine Cava was the first woman mayor of Miami-Dade County, which is freaking insane to be amazing. The first woman mayor.
Amazing.
She beat her opponent, who publicly supports Donald Trump, which is just another kick in the nuts.
Icing on the cake.
Mm-hmm. In her speech on Tuesday night, she said, "Miami-Dade's glass ceiling has been shattered." Yeah, girl.
Yes, queen.
Mm-hmm.
Cannabis was on the ballot in 5 states, and it passed in all of them. So Arizona and New Jersey legalized for anyone over 21.
Do you know
Montana? Go ahead.
I was going to say, do you know what I'm going to say about it being legal in New Jersey?
Oh, everything is legal in New Jersey.
Yes.
Anthony and I actually say that all the time.
Really? That's so funny.
Everything is legal in New Jersey. Montana legalized recreational use. South Dakota legalized medical and recreational use. And Mississippi legalized medical use.
Fuck yes. That is something for me, like, that just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't hurt. And it's, if I did not have marijuana, I don't know how many times I've said this on this podcast, if I didn't have marijuana this pandemic, I would not be sitting here right now. I swear I would be in a nut house somewhere if I didn't have something besides.
Well, I gotta tell you, man, I didn't smoke at all while I was away.
Yeah.
And I came back and I smoked and I had a panic attack.
I was going to say,
I'm not smoking.
I was going to say, you and I have talked about this. If you haven't done it in a while, and I didn't smoke for like years, like 6 or 7 years, really.
Same.
And I really, like, you guys know I love wine. So I would drink a bunch of wine and then I would smoke with Max when we first started dating, and I would get so sick.
Twisted.
I don't drink much anymore. I just smoke, which is, you know, I'll have like a beer or two sometimes at night, and I just kind of smoke as needed, and it keeps me level headed because when I drink, I swear it makes me crazier.
Well, I mean, yeah, just because weed gives me anxiety sometimes and I need to know my own limits when that comes into play. I agree. I think it's ridiculous that cannabis hasn't been, you know, either legalized or decriminalized throughout the whole country. Like, the damage that we all do to our bodies drinking.
Oh, yeah.
And like, that's okay.
100%.
But you can't smoke weed. It's insane.
Yeah.
So big wins in those 5 states.
Yes. Maury Turner was elected to Oklahoma State House, making her one of the first non-binary state lawmakers in America and one of the first Muslim people to serve in Oklahoma state legislature. She is only 27 years old.
Yep.
She is queer. She is black. She is Muslim. She is intersectional as fuck. Dorothy is getting psyched right now. Dorothy is really happy that we're talking about the good news. Sorry if you could hear her like breathing into the microphone.
Never apologize for that. She's excited.
But that is so amazing to me because Oklahoma is a super red state. So we have this like
red, yes.
Like young black queer Muslim woman, like
non-binary, the first non-binary legislator.
Insane.
Amazing.
Such an amazing thing. We've got Tara Simmons, who is a lawyer and an activist who became the she became the first formally incarcerated state representative in Washington state. Now, this is one that I hadn't really heard about at all before. So 9 years ago, she was sentenced to time in prison on theft and drug crimes. And since her release, she has become a registered nurse and went on to become a lawyer. She won a spot on the Washington Supreme Court after the state bar tried to keep her from practicing. On Tuesday, she became the first previously convicted felon to be elected to the state legislature in Washington. She tweeted, "From the big house to the state house," which I just love. And it shows, you know, how rehabilitation can be such a positive, amazing thing. And we need somebody who has experienced incarceration to help us with prison reform as well. So I think 100%. That could be a really positive thing.
And with that said, I didn't write it down, but there was a measure that passed here in California that allows previously incarcerated people to vote, which is huge. And amazing.
They've also lowered drug penalties and shortened prison sentences for certain crimes in California as well.
Yes.
We're going a little bit long, so I'm going to mention a few more people that were kind of trailblazers during this election, and that is Michelle Rayner, who became the first LGBTQ woman of color to be elected to the Florida legislature. Taylor Small is 26 years old and became the first trans person to be elected to Vermont state legislature. to Vermont state legislature. I really hate that word, legislature.
Yeah, it's really hard to say, actually.
Yeah, I'm not going to go into all of these because it's going to go too long, but I'm going to mention Kim Jackson, Nita Allam, Rich Torres, and Mondaire Jones. The fact that Colorado voted no on a proposition that would have made performing an abortion after 22 weeks illegal, and that proposition lost by 80%, which is amazing. So Colorado really came through on their abortion laws. And Florida voters passed an amendment that will bring the minimum wage up to $15. It's going to be a slow process, but by 2026, the minimum wage will be $15 in Florida. So those are the positive things that happened on Tuesday, because we don't have anything else to give.
Yeah, you went out. Did you mention that Democrats did gain two new Senate seats?
I did not.
John Hickenlooper flipped Colorado's Senate seat and Mark Kelly flipped Arizona's. So it is still a largely Republican Senate.
Yeah.
However, we did manage to flip two seats, which is not nothing.
It's not nothing, but it's a bit unprecedented if Biden wins for him to go into a split House and Senate, which I didn't realize. But I guess that's something that is not very common typically when a new president comes in. And they have the House and the Senate behind them, I guess.
Well, none of this is very common.
No.
I mean, it's all like, it's so crazy. Like, if Biden wins Georgia, it will be the first time since 1992
wow.
that Georgia has gone blue.
Wow.
So,
since Clinton. Wow. That's,
yep.
That's pretty crazy. I mean, honestly, no. I mean, they should have come through for Obama. So I was going to say that makes sense, but I don't know. It really is amazing to see how some of these red states and some of these sectors of the red states, like looking at Maine and Nevada, you know, seeing how the different counties and the different parts of the state have very different views is mm-hmm. very, I mean, this mm-hmm. has all been incredibly educational for me. So as much as I feel like my brain is turning into mush, I definitely feel like this election has taught me a lot about
right.
the whole process more than any other election ever has.
Here's what I'll say. I really hope that when the midterms come along, should Biden win this presidency especially, we really got to flip that Senate, because we got to get rid of this Electoral College, dude. We got to get rid of it. If we didn't have the Electoral College, Biden would have won a long time ago.
A long time ago.
By popular vote.
It is so funny because, you know, I take care of a third grader and he's taking government classes right now, so it's just so fitting. And his teacher did such an amazing job at explaining the Electoral College to him. And he came out and I was just kind of sitting at the table where I usually wait in case he needs any of my help or things like that. And he's just like, I don't think the Electoral College should be a thing. And I was just like, yes.
Snaps for you, buddy.
Yeah. And he had no idea. And I was just like, yes. And he was like, okay, I said the right thing.
Well, I mean,
he's like, that doesn't make sense. And, you know,
it doesn't. It's an outdated system.
That's what I was going to say. It made sense
at one
point.
One vote. Every person should get a vote, and everybody's vote should matter equally. We are the American people, and nobody's vote should matter more than anyone else's.
Right.
But you know what? It won't happen as long as Republicans have a say in it,
mm-hmm.
because they have not won the popular vote.
Yeah, for the past,
in a
what,
very,
seven,
very long time.
Seven elections or something like that? They've
yes,
been...
in a very, very long time. So, They know that they can't win. They will not be able to maintain power if every single person in this country who is voting has a voice and their voice is equal. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, gosh.
It's a lot. There's a lot of work to do, but I know that the first step is going to be Biden. So I'm ready to go sit in front of my TV for a little while longer before I get ready for another day.
Oh, man. I don't know.
I can't watch anything else. I've listened to a few podcasts but had the TV on mute, but I haven't watched anything else. I've been
tapping out early. I'm like, if something important happens, I'll see it on Instagram or Twitter.
Right. I'm very proud of you. I just can't. Max and I both are just like, we can't look away. I can't look away. Like, it's driving us insane, but we can't look away.
Well, I guess that's a good thing to say. Finally, yeah. Let's just say, everybody take care of yourselves.
Yeah.
Everybody take care of your mental health. And in the days to come, no matter who wins, there's going to be violence, most likely.
Uh-huh.
There's going to be unrest. So everybody just be safe, be careful.
Yeah.
And just keep the faith, dude. Just keep the faith.
Keep the faith. We all just have to hunker down and be there for each other as much as we possibly can.
Yep.
Oh, Keegan, it is so good to have you back.
Yay! I'm so happy to be back.
That's good. Oh, everybody, thank you so much. We actually got quite a bit of reviews as during the time that you were away. So I want to encourage everybody to keep doing that. It really, really helps us the most. So go ahead and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. It means so much to us. And then go over to Facebook and leave us a review there on the business page, and then chat with the other listeners in the group page. You can reach out to us through email at neighborhoodfeminist@gmail.com and on Instagram at @angryneighborhoodfeminist and direct message us there if you want to. We have a Twitter that we sometimes use at YANF Podcast,
YANF
Podcast. What else do we have, Keegan? Oh, I think the only other thing I have to say is if you don't already listen to us on Radio Public, it's a free way for you to listen and it helps us out just a little bit. All right, with all of that being said, we encourage you to rage on.
Bye. Bye.